39. Izzy had loved the Toy Story movies. Gabe found them incredibly sad. The end of childhood. The fear of becoming old and unwanted. The realization that life moves on without you. Gabe had found himself reflecting on this a few months before Izzy's fourth birthday. Jenny had set him the task of clearing out some of Izzy's old toys before the house filled with new ones. It's either that or buy a bigger house. They both knew that that was not on the cards, not with the unspoken fragility of their relationship. And Jenny was right. The house was overflowing with pink plastic. He had found Buzz beneath a mountain of more recent acquisitions in Izzy's toy box. He stared at his wide plastic smile. To infinity and beyond, or the charity shop? He put him to one side. He couldn't. Just couldn't. And set about collecting some of her older toys. Cheap Barbie knockoffs, a pushchair, dog-eared cuddly toys, and other plastic novelties acquired for Christmas or birthdays and never played with. He had divided them into two bin bags, one for the charity shop, one for the tip. By the time he had finished, it had been too late to take them to either, so he had deposited the bags in the garage and promptly forgotten about them. Izzy didn't miss the toys. She had plenty of new bits of plastic for Gabe to spend hours putting together and days tripping over. Then, a few weeks later, the weather turned surprisingly warm. Gabe had opened the garage to get out the mower, to cut the grass. Izzy ran in with him and her face fell.
"Why are all my toys in here, Daddy? Are you throwing them away?"
"Well, you haven't played with them for ages."
"But I want to play with them now."
She began to root determinedly through the bags. Gabe had checked his irritation.
"Izzy, you have lots of lovely new toys. We haven't got room for all of them.
I'm going to take some of your old toys to the charity shop. You know, like in Toy Story, when Andy gives his old toys to the little girl."
"What about the others?"
He hesitated. "Well, they have to go to the tip." Her eyes had widened in horror.
"But then they'll be burned."
Crap. Why had he mentioned Toy Story?
"Izzy, they're broken. Missing bits." "But we can't let them be burned just because they're broken. Woody was broken and he got fixed."
Gabe had sighed.
"Izzy, some things can't be fixed." "Why? Why can't we save them all?"
And then she had burst into tears. One of those sudden violent storms of emotion that gather and break out of nowhere. He had knelt down and held her as she sobbed, her tears soaking hotly through his t-shirt. He had felt her pain. "Why can't we save them all?" "Because we can't. Because life isn't fair. Because we have to pick and choose, and sometimes those choices will be tough. Sometimes we don't even get the choice. Not everything or everyone can be fixed with some thread and a dab of glue, and we won't all end our days on the front porch in the sunshine." He didn't say any of this. He wiped her eyes and said, "Shall we go and get an ice cream?" After it happened, somewhere within that huge chasm of darkness and pain, Gabe had found himself tasked with clearing out Izzy's room. He couldn't do it. He had shuffled around like a bewildered child himself, unable to give her things away, unable to let a single hair clip go. Eventually, he had called a removals company, and everything, all of her toys, clothes, and furniture, was put into storage. Here, he stood staring at the anonymous row of shuttered garage doors, illuminated by the security lighting. Number 327. He hadn't been back to this place, an industrial estate just outside Nottingham, for almost 2 years. Several times he had thought about emptying the lockup, giving away the contents, cancelling the direct debit. But the image of Izzy's face that afternoon in the garage always stopped him.
"Are you throwing them away?"
If he let this go, then it would be the beginning of the end. He would be letting her go, casting aside that life buoy of hope that had kept him afloat these last 3 years. He would be admitting that she wasn't coming back. The end. He walked over to the keypad beside the door and tapped in the code. Izzy's birthday.
He stepped back as the door rolled open and the automatic lighting shuttered into life. He steeled himself, but the pain still hit him, hard enough to cause him to wince. All in here, Izzy's life. Her bedroom furniture, her toys, her pictures, playhouse, bike, all neatly stacked in this dark, cold storage space. The incongruity of the bright colours against the dismal cinder block never starker. Toys needed to be played with, he thought. Woody was right about that. He walked forward, touched the headboard of her bed, her pink Barbie scooter, as if they could impart their memories to him. He realized he found it harder and harder to summon up the image of Izzy playing or sleeping. She was fading, retreating into the past, and he couldn't call her name or run after her because he was rooted in the present, and you can't go back, only forward. Gabe. He turned. Harry stood in the doorway, white hair haloed in the light. He leaned on his walking stick and looked thinner and more stooped than ever. Gabe smiled thinly. Come in, make yourself at home. He watched as Harry took an unsure step forward. Then Gabe pressed a switch on the wall. The automatic door slowly lowered, shutting them both inside. What the... Harry squinted at him across the lockup. What the hell is going on, Gabe? What is this place? It's all I have left of her. He saw Harry blink and look around, taking it all in. He watched every small movement. The bobbing of his Adam's apple, the slight twitch above his left eye, a trembling in his hand. You said this was urgent, that there was something I needed to see. Gabe nodded. That's right. I wanted you to see this. I wanted you to understand how I never gave up hope. How I kept all this because I wanted to be ready for my little girl when she came home. And that's why you've dragged me out here so late at night. For God's sake. Harry sighed, but it sounded forced. I don't know what more I can do to help you, Gabe. You can tell me the truth. I have. No. You have lied. Right from the start. Right from the day when you misidentified my daughter's body. Those pills Evelyn gave me certainly did the trick, didn't they? Or was it something she slipped into my coffee before we left the hotel? Eye drops, perhaps? I mean, it was a risk, but you pulled it off. I just need to know why. Harry's face regained some of the calm superiority that was the norm. I feel sorry for you, I really do. But this time you've lost it. He shook his head. Open that door, or I'm calling the police. You do that. I think they'd like to talk to you. About why you faked a morgue photo, wrongly identified a dead girl. They know, Harry. But I wanted to talk to you first. Harry hesitated, mobile hovering in his liver-spotted hand. Gabe waited, wondered if he was still going to try and brazen it out. And then he saw Harry's shoulders slump. The sack of defeat. He lowered himself onto the edge of Izzy's bed. He didn't just look old. He looked ill, Gabe thought. And he could suddenly picture Harry in a few years' time lowering himself onto a hospital bed in much the same way, tubes hanging from his arms, skinny white legs poking out from his thin gown. Once the master of this domain, now at the mercy of doctors who were wielding dummies when he was wielding scalpels. Death might be indiscriminate, but time is merciless. I always thought faking the photo was a step too far, Harry said. But I kept it just in case. When you told me about finding the car, I had no choice. I had to use it to convince you to let it go. It almost worked, Gabe said. But not quite. There was the cat. Sorry. That morning, the cat scratched Izzy on her chin. I put a plaster on it. In the photo, there was no scratch. It had to have been taken later. Harry shook his head. Perhaps it's for the best. You don't know how hard it's been for me keeping this secret all this time. Hard for you. Gabe stared at him in disbelief. You tried to convince me my daughter was dead. You let me torture myself searching for her. You let another child be buried in her grave. How? How could you do that? Conscience doth make cowards of us all.
Harry's expression was sharper.
When you have a child, you would do anything for them. Anything. Jenny was our only child. Our world. Izzy was our universe.
That's why you came to visit them so often.
Evelyn never liked you.
I'm shocked.
It caused friction between her and Jenny. When the truth came out, all those secrets you'd been keeping, Gabe, I realized Evelyn was right. You didn't deserve Jenny or Izzy.
Gabe clenched his fists.
That has nothing to do with this. Are you sure?
He faltered.
Harry smiled unpleasantly. Didn't you ever wonder, why me? Why my family? Why did this happen?
Of course he had. He had wondered if this was what he deserved. Karma, kismet, fate.
Or something else. We share the pain with those that deserve it.
Gabe's mouth felt dry.
It wasn't a random attack, was it?
Harry regarded Gabe as though he were a slow child, finally adding up 2 plus 2. He shook his head.
No. It was because of what you did to her. The other girl. The girl whose name you gave to your own daughter, like some kind of sick joke.
Gabe stared at him. Dread crawled up into his throat.
Isabella.